There's been a lot of media about the Burnie City Council in the last couple of days, all coming from announcements that were made on Monday to do with cutbacks and cost-saving measures. And I think some of it's been misinterpreted or misunderstood in the media, so we're going to clarify some of that today. But I guess the first question I've got, Steve, is I had a call from a listener that wanted to know, back in 2018, apparently the council returned a surplus of $400,000. There was something like about $8 million tucked away in low-interest earning accounts. What's brought us to the point where we've had to make these sorts of hard decisions this week?
Well, for a start, Martin, we have to acknowledge the fact that council has about $15 to $16 million in the bank at this point in time. $10 million is a state government loan, which we took out as a precautionary measure. So there is money still in the bank, and a lot of it. What's happened here is that we've determined to do a different service delivery model of the way we conduct our business. Last year, we started with youth services. We used to do those in-house. We contracted that out, and we believe we're getting better value for money. And we intend to do the same with our arts and with our functions and sporting events as well, because we believe that there are outside players in the private sector who can deliver not only more, but more efficient and different types of events for us into the future.
Well, it's a repurposing. What will it mean for events like the Burnie 10 and Burnie Shines? Because they're the sorts of things you're talking about, aren't you?
Yep, they will continue to go ahead into the future.
Okay. There's been a speculation from the announcements on Monday that the Arts Centre and the gallery were going to close indefinitely. That's not true. Actually the case, is that they're going to close while you're refurbishing the Burnie Arts and Function Centre.
That's right. What's happened is we've got two buildings. One's got the museum, the other one's got the art gallery and the function centre and the theatre. What's happening is where the museum is, that building is closing. It'll be still utilised for the digital information that we have. We've got about 1.5 million pictures, historical pictures, so we'll continue to digitise those. In the new building, we're repurposing that building. The function part of the building will continue to trade, but what we're going to do is we're going to renovate that building. It hasn't had a makeover for about 35 years, so we're going to upgrade that building. The art gallery will remain downstairs, although it'll close on the 1st of July. It will reopen possibly towards the end of next calendar year, so maximum 18-month closure, but we've got our consultants in working with us to determine how to do the upstairs and downstairs in a different way. We will be housing some of the permanent collection that we have downstairs in a cellar and the museum artifacts spread throughout the building. So that's part of the vision, to not only go into the Burnie Arts and Function Centre for the town hall or the theatre, but to be actually able to view part of the collection and a lot of the artefacts that we have from the museum on the first level.
Okay, so, $5 million being made available from, I think, the federal government for that, or maybe the state government. Steve, the Premier contacted you this morning, and given the publicity it's received in the last couple of days, the state government have indicated that they're willing to help and possibly work towards having some of those reopenings sooner than originally planned.
Look, we've got a meeting tomorrow afternoon with the local government office, and the thing is we are very thankful to the state government to offer the support. We will be progressing a plan and liaising with them on how they can best support it, whether it's financial or other advice or support that they can give us. We'll certainly take that on board and work with them for a better outcome.
Other changes you've foreshadowed to do with the Makers Centre, the Visitor Information Centre will close there. What else is going to happen, Steve?
Well, there are a number of elements out there. The university occupies that building. Council is a licensee, so we license part of that area back, which is the Visitor Information Centre. We've said that that is not a very good way of delivering that service. There are modern, more practical ways and more cost-efficient ways that you can have a greater outreach, so we're going to be exploring those with different technologies to be able to assist tourists. The paper-making part of that building will no longer exist because we have found that that's been cost prohibitive for us in the past. And Burnie has changed. It's no longer a paper town. It's a university town. It's a town that's got a shopping centre, a waterfront. There are plenty of other things that are happening in this municipality, and we have to make those changes now rather than wait 5-10 years down the track. We're probably the first council in the state to actually have a look at what the government intends to do over the next few years with local government reform and be prepared and we're the first ones off the mark. Naturally, we're going to be criticised for that.
Yeah, and the Premier said today it's been a courageous decision by Bernie. Unfortunately, there will be some redundancies. We're hearing up to 25, according to some of the unions, but just explain the reasoning and thinking behind that, Steve.
Well, it's not 25 in the first instance, but the areas that councillors don't get involved in staffing matters are the province of the general manager. That is the regrettable part of running a council, that you have to have a look at the way you service deliver. There are some functions of council that are basically discretionary, and there are some that are mandatory. For example, your planning, your engineering, they're mandatory. The discretionary parts are your functions, all those sorts of things. We believe that there is a better model out there to get greater bang for our buck and the community, and it's for the whole community, not only sections or segments of the community. So we have to have a look at the whole community and make sure that the work that we do now, in 10 years' time, will be producing a better result than doing the same thing that we've been doing forever and a day.
It's quite a comprehensive plan. You've also foreshadowed that you will be withdrawing from the central, not central, the Cradle Coast Authority. I think you have to give them 18 months' notice, so that won't happen until next year, but you've identified some cost saving in that as well.
Well, we have. We did another exercise there and had a look at value for money, and we didn't believe that we were getting value for money. Those resources can go into other discretionary elements of council's expenditure. We believe contracting, for example, our sports and events and functions out will probably produce a better result, because we can have more events, more targeted, by people who have a greater breadth of knowledge and ability to be able to attract other events in our municipality. So I think this is probably the model that a lot of local government will move towards, and I think there are even steps previously with coordinating events and functions on the northwest coast. It's just that we can't wait. We have to start and be on the front of the blocks rather than wait to be overtaken by lots of other people doing these things early in advance. Lots of change.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but I think the contribution to the Cradle Coast Authority is in the order of around $200,000 a year.
It's between $150,000 and $170,000, Martin, and when you add that up for the last 10 years along the northwest coast, you're talking about 10 years, you're talking $8 to $10 million has been invested in that organisation. We think that we have the capacity to do what councils do, which is provide advice to people, not tell them what to do. They can come on our door and we can give them advice, because at the end of the day, we realise that it's not councils that make things happen, it's people on the road and in the streets that take punts and make their plans and work forward in the future. They don't need to be told what to do, they need to be assisted. And that's what we can do, whether it's planning, building. We have the ability there to say to them, yes, that'll work, that won't work, not to tell them whether they should do it or not.
Okay, just two more finally, if I could, Steve. Also announced in the raft of changes is that the council is going to return TAS Communications back to the council. You probably need to explain what that is all about. And secondly, that there's going to be some changes to Bernie Works as well.
Well, what happens with TAS Communications? Council used to have in an IT section many years ago. They got some grants to install fibre throughout the streets, and council decided that it would provide other IT services to other councils. That business has dwindled over the years, and it's not really a core function of council. There are others that can do it more efficiently, better, and are more agile than council. So what we've decided is we bring that part of it back into council. We focus on the fact that we need our IT provision for ourselves in the first instance. We will continue to service the clients that we do have, which aren't very many. And, you know, I've asked for this many years, and finally we've made a decision to bring it in-house rather than try and be playing the business sphere, which council generally are not that great at doing.
Yeah, okay, so you're outsourcing other things, but this one you're bringing back. And the changes to Bernie Works, what will that involve?
Well, Bernie Works is a federally funded program which brings young people in to give them opportunities to have a look at different job schemes, all those sorts of things that you generally have not-for-profits provide. So that's setting itself up as an unincorporated body. We'll still be providing the support that we were providing before, which is not very much because, as I said, it's funded by the Commonwealth. And it'll be standing alone on its own rather than within council. Council does not have the expertise to run job creation programs and schemes, nor does it have the expertise to run a lot of these other things that have been discretionary. We've done them because we've inherited them, or someone suggested it's a good idea. And it's like the health system. Every every year there's a new program here, there, everywhere, so you get that, and then you keep running it, funding runs out, you start another program, the previous people are still there. You know, we have to focus on our core strengths, which is delivery of core services to our community, and the other things, which are the discretionary things, if we can certainly find more value and bang for our buck and trying to get a greater reach for the whole of the community, that's the way we want to do it.
Well, let's hope in a few years' time, people say, I don't know what all the fuss was about, but as the Premier said, it's certainly brave decisions made by the Council. Steve, thanks for clarifying all of that for this afternoon. I really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again in a fortnight.
Martin, in a few years' time, I'll be hopefully talking to you into the future, and you'll still be the top-rating spokesperson on radio in Tasmania.
We'll see what happens. Steve Conn stepping up on as the Today's Mayor on the air.